Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, this message is titled Knock, Knock. And so I reached out to several people, I was swinging and a miss. And I went, wait a minute, why don't I reach out to our preschool team, because I'm sure they have a few knock-knock jokes, because my daughter, even though she's now going to be seven, she tells me knock-knock jokes, and they don't make any sense. But she's like, that was funny, though, right, Dad? And I say, of course it was, because, again, that's me as a dad. So this is a few from one of our teachers that I just said, the ones I got, I'm like, these are really good. So ready? Knock-knock. You guys good. You guys are on it today. Boo. Aw, don't cry. I went, okay. Oh, hold on. The best is last. We got two more. Knock, knock. Donut. Donut ask. It's a secret. Again, this is the best one. Ready? Knock, knock. Broken pencil. Never mind. It's pointless. Come on. You know you like that. I will not mention Amanda Orr in any way of giving me those. So that way it's totally anonymous. She's like, I'm going to kill him. Okay. They were good jokes. I concur. So we have our knock knock. What is this all about? This is Jesus knocking on the door. In the book of Revelation, John is writing, and at this point he's talking to some churches. This is a verse for churches. This is a verse for us as a church. We receive new members. How are we doing it? How are we loving them? How are we loving where God's placed us? How are we loving those, not only through these doors, but where God has us on our frontline ministries, whether it be working with little children, whether it be working in the business sector, whether it be in our own neighborhood? How are we loving others? He says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. He's not inside his own church with his family. He's outside the door. This is typically used as an evangelistic verse, and it sounds really good. It's not an evangelistic verse. I know some of you go, whoa, Pastor. I know, I'm stepping on some holy ground there. But just go with me here. He's talking to the church, and the churches that are not obeying, the churches that are not listening. And he's saying, what are you doing? Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. For some reason, he can't get in. But then he says, if anyone hears my voice, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. He wants to come and have that intimacy. He wants to share that meal with us. How does that work? I mean, really, how does that work? Is there a certain prayer I have to pray? Is it something I have to do? Do I have to go to so many services throughout my lifetime on Sunday mornings? Let me share with you a pattern that God has used from the Old Testament to the New Testament, or I like to say is from part one to part two. It's a real complicated thing, and it's complicated not because it's difficult. It's not like 20,000 things. It's complicated for us because it sounds too good to be true. Too good to be true. This idea of grace, this is not a new concept. This isn't something actually, if you will, that we hear in the beginning from Jesus. No, we see this in part one, when God hears his people cry. We see this when God tells Abram, go, and he goes. Here's a man who leaves everything, and he goes. And he says, because of this, I will bless you and the whole world through it. The grace was already there. He loved him before he even had a thought about him. Grace. Why is it so difficult sometimes? I wrote some things down in my journal this week that I just wanted to share with you. When it comes to just grace, we come into a relationship solely by receiving God's grace. That's us trusting him. Just like Abram trusted God, Moses trusted God. So how does that work? How does that work? I'm going to give you the short end of it. The way to God is grace. The walk with God is obedience. Take that in for a moment. The way to God is grace. The walk with God is obedience. That's the we kind of get those mixed up a lot of times. We think the way to God is obedience and the walk with God. Well, God loves me no matter what. He does love you no matter what. That's never in question. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do to make God love us any less. And also, and the good news is, there's nothing God that we can do to make God love us any more. It's complete. It's beautiful. But sometimes we get that backwards. We come to him because God first invited us. You ever wonder why you want to pray sometimes? Maybe it's God put that on your heart. Maybe he's been pulling on you, inviting you to a deeper conversation, a deeper moment with him. Grace. It's something that we can't earn. Grace plus anything isn't grace. It's just not grace. And so we got to ask ourselves, why are we not opening that door? Why are some of us just struggling to open that door of grace and just let him in? He's already done the hard work. Here's some things I wrote down. Well, maybe it's a control issue. What does that mean? I mean, come on. I mean, can I really trust him with that? Fear. What will he ask of me? Maybe it's a lie, and we just can't let ourselves buy into that. This grace thing sounds too good to be true. Maybe there'll be a bait and switch. Maybe God will do something that just won't work. Maybe he's asking to do something, and we're going to find out he's totally changed it up on us. Then I came to this one, and many of you are probably going to, I believe, are going to connect with this one. We had a real bad experience with a church or with church people. When I talk with people, a lot of them don't have a problem with Jesus. They have a problem with the church. And that's on us. And we have to work through that. We have to own it. We have to work through that. We have to seek forgiveness where we need to. Some of us, we don't open the door because of hurt. The hurt that we have, the brokenness that we feel, just don't tell me about grace. I'm hurting too much. What about loss and grief? When you've lost someone so dear, when you have so many questions, how does grace meet us there? That painful past can be a difficult way of going through it. But grace invites us in. Grace is incredibly patient. Grace says, I'm here no matter what. I love you no matter what. Where you find yourselves, I am there. And I'm ready for it. You got nothing that's going to surprise God. This is something someone said to me this last couple weeks ago. And I wrestled with this. I said, God is not, you have never disappointed God. And I kind of was like, well, I don't know about that. I've made some real bad choices in my life. I definitely have had some rebellion. The Bible calls it sin. I said, I don't know about that. And then I put on my theology hat and started working through some things. See, God began everything. He was outside of time, and then, because of his generosity and love, decided to go in time with Jesus and with people of Israel and with us today. In and out. There's nothing that he doesn't know. There's nothing that he is surprised about me doing, and yet he loved me before I ever, ever could say I'm sorry. Grace, it meets us where we're at. But this is the part about that obedience. See, it comes, if you will, let me kind of get that background out of there, from the inside out. From the inside out. See, as we come to him as a free gift, we just come. But in that, he wants to put in us a new person, a new character. He wants to transform us, if you will, from the inside out. It's not about us working on the outside, trying to work better, 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 try harder, try harder, try harder. But as we will see, it's about us trusting more. It's about us surrendering more. There's a term in the Bible, and we usually use it for God. In fact, we just sang about Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy is not a mystical term, by the way. Holy doesn't mean you have to have a divine revelation. Holy doesn't mean you see, you hear angels when you pray, okay? Holy, it literally means set apart. God is a holy God, set apart. There's no other God like him. And as we'll discuss in the next few weeks, he's called us to be holy. What? Not perfect, holy. Not without error, set apart for him. But that happens by grace. Like waves that come in from the ocean. And you're standing there, wave upon grace, upon grace, upon grace. It's by his grace that we're transformed from the inside out. It's by his grace that we're able to forgive those who do not deserve it, right? Who have done so much or hurt so deeply. I believe that there's some things in this world we cannot forgive. Not because we're not called to forgive, but because we don't have the power to do it on our own. We need God's grace to help us forgive. We need his power in us. And this is a moment-by-moment, day-by-day kind of experience. To be in relationship requires God's character to shape our hearts afresh, to shape our character. Now again, this is impossible to do. I think I was married maybe a year or two, and I just came to this realization at this point where I went, okay, I don't know if marriage is really possible. Not because I didn't love my wife and not because she's not amazing and better than me. I'm just like, wow, we are completely different. And then I thought about the Christian walk. We're called to be perfect. Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father. Now, I just said, it's not about being perfect, and I just said, Jesus has said that. How did that work? The Greek word for perfect doesn't mean without error. It means being what you were always meant to be. The humanity that God talks about that he creates in his image, to be image bearers for the whole world, to be salt and light in the world. So how are we surrendering more? Because it's not possible. We can try harder, but we're not going to get it done. We got to trust more, surrender more. Again, God's called us to do the impossible, but it's only possible when we surrender. Just as we enter into a relationship with God by his grace, we have Christ's life reproduced by his Spirit, and by relying upon him, surrendering moment by moment. You have questions. You have questions. You have struggles. You have challenges. How do you get through them? Moment by moment, trusting his grace. Dear Lord, help. Dear Lord, help. That is, if you will, a great quote from a brother in Christ, Reverend Brian Wanger, from Indian River Presbyterian Church, or sister church in Fort Pierce. He said that he was stuck, and he just realized, I got no big prayers. I just need God to move. I need help. And then he said this one day to me. Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can ever pray is, Lord, help. I thought that was pretty insightful. Moment by moment, surrendering, saying, Lord, give me the grace I need for this moment. How do we do that? Again, the way to God is grace, but the walk with God is obedience. So we do that, if you will, let me clear that, by partnering, by being a partner with one another, the body of Christ. I didn't ask him to say that, right? But Mike was talking about how important Bible study is, how important it is to share life with one another, how important it is, because you know what? The storms of life will come. Not if they will come, it's when they will come. When the storms come, if you haven't had that, you don't have those relationships, guess what? That storm is going to be incredibly more difficult than it ever intended to be, what it ever should have been. But needing each other isn't weakness. It's the way God made us. Love this Ivy League professor, Tony Campolo, happens to be an ordained pastor too, and he goes, I struggle when people say, I got to go find myself, okay? He's an older gentleman. He said, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, people would, I got to go find myself. And he's like, I never met anyone that said, I found him myself. I was on 5th and Broadway. Oh my goodness, right? And I thought about it. I'm like, oh my goodness. He goes, we find ourselves in one another, in community. And we find ourselves in the body of Christ, in the church. Do you have to go to church to be a follower of Jesus? No way. No how. But you won't be as strong. We need each other. We need a partner, not just with each other, but most importantly, with God. Reading of his word, spending time with him, listening to him. The longer I follow the Lord, the less words I use. It's amazing how he just kind of stills me. I can show you journal upon journal of all the prayers I would write down and be lifting up, and they were great to see all how God answered, but it was amazing. I felt, sorry, I don't know where that came from. Amazing how I felt just like I was missing Jesus. I was missing that relationship with our Father because I was so focused on doing the work of God instead of being in communion with God. What is that about? It is so easy to do that. So, holiness, this idea of being holy, it's not for people that wear stoles, ladies, gentlemen. It's not for people who have it all together. Holy, being holy, is trying to honor our Savior. It's trying to say, God, I love you this much, and I need you to change me from the inside out. I need you to do a work in me because I can't do the work in me. I make choices, and I just don't know what to do about that. We'll unpack this more, but I hope you'll see that it's a hand in hand. It's not just you going in a faraway land by yourself. It's about you in community with the Lord. So I ask you again, what's holding you back? What's holding you back? And as a church, have we put him out in any area? Is he waiting? Is he knocking? Is he asking us to step up? We must always humbly ask ourselves that question before we go astray as well. And again, do you need to answer that door? It's interesting how he goes from the church to an individual here, which is why I think a lot of times people use it for an evangelistic, sharing one's faith. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and eat with them, and they with me, to share that oneness with one another. Scripture, again, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Are you friends with someone just because? Just because? The best friends are those you share life together with. The best friends are the people you call at 3 a.m. because your spouse is vomiting. And you go, I think I might need to go to the emergency room. The best friends are the ones that have, I like to say, refrigerator rights. They can come in any door of the house and say, I'm here. And you're like, okay, good to have you. Yeah, drinks are in the fridge, go for it. Those friends that know all the junk in your life and love you in spite of it and say, we're good. There's a friend like no other in Jesus. And many of us have maybe not have understood that Jesus just doesn't want to be our God, which he totally deserves to be, but says, I want to be your friend. I call you friend. And I went into your life, and I went into your world. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your grace that meets us right where we're at. We do not deserve it in any way. It's grace. And we cannot continue to live lives of sin and enjoy fellowship with the one who knew no sin, you, our matchless King. And so, Lord, have mercy on us. Give us courage. Give us courage to not be afraid of meeting with you. Not be afraid of what you might ask us to do, because everything is based in your grace and in your love. This idea of being holy, Lord, it's about us as a church being salt and light in the world. It's a witness to your truth and your power, to you working in us and through us. Help us, Lord, to be holy. Help us to be filled with your love and your grace, that we may bear fruit, fruit like love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Help us, Lord, that we may live by the Spirit. Help us to behave in accordance with what your leading is. Help us, Lord, to be flourishing disciples, to become a flourishing church, to become what you always imagined us becoming. We pray for our sister churches, the Grove, Any River, Palm City. We pray for the church universal all around the world, the body of Christ. We pray that you would continue to help us have the doors wide open, and that we would always share a meal with you, that we would be your hands and your feet. We pray for the brokenness in this world. We pray for Syria. We pray for you to stop the injustice and the evil. Please give wisdom and guidance to the leaders. Lord, I think it's appropriate that we remember how you taught your disciples to pray. Because when you taught them to pray, it wasn't just about going somewhere else, but it was about you transforming here and now this world. And so we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.